Call the Commerce Committee to order. We've got three bills we want to discuss this afternoon. We're not going to take action on them, but being the Commerce Committee and economic development that we're all concerned about in this committee, I thought it'd be the right thing to do to hear these three bills or hear about them and why some of us have signed on to these bills. And Senate File 1830 is a bill I put in. Senator 1942, Senator Reinhart, and Senator Jensen 1884. So we've got about 20 witnesses today, and we've got a list here, and we're going to start out. Everybody that comes to the front desk, just identify yourself for the record, okay? Senator Reinhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just before we start with the testifiers, I'd ask members to note you do have a letter from the Port of Duluth in your folder. I had hoped to have them here, but they are in three different places today, and one of them cannot be St. Paul because they're out doing what they're supposed to do. So I'd encourage you at some point to read through the port's concerns about the warehouse.
Okay, my first on the list of testifiers is Vicki Stewart from the Dakota County Regional Chamber of Commerce. So welcome, Stewart. Thank you for showing up today, and this doesn't enter into the conversation, but I'm a member of the chamber, Dakota County. But that shouldn't influence anybody. Welcome, and identify yourself and say a few remarks.
Thank you. My name is Vicki Studi. I'm president of the Dakota County Regional Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for the opportunity, Chair Metzen and members of the committee, to be here with you today to share our concerns regarding the storage and warehousing tax. For more than 60 years, this chamber has served as a gateway to business advantage, representing more than 500 members throughout the region. We are committed to business, businesses that create jobs, contribute to the tax base, support their local communities, and employ thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Concerned with this new sales tax that was passed last spring, this summer, the chamber convened several impacted businesses within the storage and warehousing industry. As you know, Eagan and Dakota County has a high concentration of companies within this industry, companies that selected this region to do business due to the close proximity of the interstates and centralization within the Twin Cities region. This industry is a driver within today's supply chain, an industry in motion. And the true ripple effect of this tax against our local companies will be felt through all industries. Local manufacturers and commercial industrial companies such as Gopher Resource, Thomson Reuters, and Valmont are just to name a few, who employ thousands of people, have voiced their concerns, as they will be directly impacted by the tax as they utilize the warehousing companies as part of their product distribution cycle. Ultimately, B2B taxes hurt consumers and workers as these added costs will be passed through higher price on goods and lower wages and fewer job opportunities. We must do all that we can to ensure a competitive business climate in the region, in Dakota County, as well as the other 86 communities throughout the state of Minnesota, so that entrepreneurs, small businesses, and large corporations alike can continue to grow their business and create jobs for all Minnesotans. This tax undermines a strong economic future for the region and the entire state. We ask for your consideration to repeal the storage and warehousing B2B tax. In fact, we ask for your repeal of all three taxes in a swift and efficient manner. Thank you for your time and consideration.
I must add that I toured a couple of warehouses out in Eagan about a month ago, so I'm aware of the deep concern that these people have.
Thank you.
Astute. Kathy Forrester, General Manager, Strategic Warehouse. Welcome to the Minnesota Senate and Commerce Committee.
Good afternoon. My name is Kathy Forrester from Strategic Warehousing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. I run the facility. I'm also the co-chair of the Minnesota Warehouse Association. We're a small warehousing company in Eagan. We own, operate, and lease about 700,000 square feet. Back last spring, when this bill was passed, immediately our customer, and we store cans, immediately our customer came back to us and said that would be a very, very hard tax to absorb. They stepped back, came back to me a couple weeks after that and said, well, after discussing internally, would you guys look at opening up a facility in Ames, Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa? We, of course, welcomed the opportunity because that's what we do. Within about a couple months, we were open and operating about 100,000 square feet down in Ames. Immediately upon us opening the facility, they diverted 8 truckloads a day, which equated to close to 180 trucks in 1 month. That just shows how fast and mobile our industry is. We've been up and operating since last August. We have, in the year 2013, we've lost Minnesota revenue of 10%, and 18% of our workforce was laid off here in Minnesota. We have since hired in Iowa. Our employees that were laid off here in Minnesota, some of them could not relocate down to Iowa for various reasons. We employ folks that have a base wage anywhere between $13 to $16 base wage an hour with wonderful benefits. They also come to work for us with very, very limited education, GED. Maybe some of them go to trade school. We train them. They work up. They can become supervisors, second shift, overtime, all kinds of things. And they can make a pretty healthy wage of maybe $50,000, which is nothing really to sneeze at. That being said, we need to get this tax repealed immediately. I can tell you, I've been in this business 33 years. Hard to believe. The phones are very, very quiet. A lot of our other competitors, and I can speak for a few of them, there's interest to put business here in Minnesota, but they're not going to put product in our empty space until such time they feel that this is repealed. I was down visiting a customer in Tennessee over this past few months, asking them if they could grow into the space where our cans have exited, 180 truckloads. They said, we would be willing, but again, why would we expand in that space when nobody around us, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, they're just waiting for us to open up facilities. So I ask in this committee to please put out the message that it needs to get done before April 1st. I do believe we can get business back into Minnesota if we can get this thing off the table. At the end, of, and the other only thing I would add is that we did get a study done with our industry, and they had said that this is a very unique tax to Minnesota. So we know for sure that we are not competing on the same level as others. So I thank you for your time, and hope to get this repealed.
I don't know if it's one of your warehouses that I. Met you at?
Yes, you did. You came out this summer.
Mm-hmm. The canning company said to Eagan it's about 8 minutes away, and if this tax remains, that Hudson is 12 minutes away. So, that's, in my opinion, they were not crying wolf. It's a very serious issue. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Richard Murphy and Ed Rezino, you guys want to come up together? Is that what reasonable? Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I'm Richard Murphy from Murphy Warehouse Company. We are a 110-year-old family warehouse entity. I am the fourth generation to run the operation at this point in time, knock on wood. And we have 200 employees here in Minnesota, of which 150 are Teamster Union employees, and that's why Ed and I are here together to talk to you as a committee. I, too, am like Kathy in that we haven't moved an operation yet, but I have had calls from the mayor of Hudson, Wisconsin. I have had multiple entities from development agencies in the Hudson Valley as well as in Iowa harping on our door. I was working with the state of Minnesota deed on an Albert Lea project, a couple 100,000 square feet, and when this bill got passed last spring, I had to call them and say, this is off the table. I can't afford to know where we're going to go here. Senator, as you probably know, we recently purchased a building 2 years ago down in Egan, a 350,000 square foot building on Yankee Doodle Road. It had been empty for 8 years, and we put $10 million into the building. It does not look at all like it used to be. It is a statement to the green sustainability movement also. But those are the kind of investments that, with this kind of tax, I can't afford to do anymore. The other thing is, much like Kathy, is I have two customers who have this summer come out and done their due diligence. And these are potential customers. And they would be approximately 100,000 square feet of new business, would employ probably 10-plus Teamster employees. And they have both told us that if this tax is rescinded, they will come to Minnesota. If it is not rescinded, they will not stay here. They will not come here. One of the things that I think many people fail to realize about our industry, the warehouse logistics, is how fluid it is. If you were to ask me who is my primary competitor in town, I would not say Kathy and some of your other speakers today. They're all good people, don't get me wrong. But they would probably also say what I'm going to say is, I would respond, my biggest competitor is Chicago and Des Moines and Kansas City. Because when a company looks across the United States as to where they should put their product, they don't worry about the center of the universe, which is not the Twin Cities, unfortunately. As much as I wish it was, it's not. Chicago is much bigger from our world. So that's why this is such an incredibly uncompetitive stance that this tax gives us. I think I'll let Ed jump in here. I'm kind of hogging everything.
It's okay.
Go ahead, good testimony.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Edward Reynoso. I'm the political director for Teamsters Joint Council 32, and we represent in excess of 62,000 active and retired members in the state of Minnesota, many of which are in the warehouse industry. We come here as an organization to ask for your support and your quick response to repealing the storage and warehouse tax. It's plain and simple to explain our position on this. We are supporters of our employers. We want to make sure that we have employers, and our employers are plentiful on the profit margin. In turn, that provides good benefits, good wages for our members to provide for their family. So I'm going to be brief in support, but we ask that you quickly, as soon as possible, repeal this tax to protect these jobs that are already here and to potentially expand beyond the jobs that we have now. Thank you.
And, you know, the interesting thing about what Ed talks about is there's some people out front of the Capitol today that are going to be talking about the minimum wage issue that I know you're all facing as part of your agenda. But if you look at our employees, for example, I just looked at that. Our starting salary is $4 over what your guys are talking about raising the minimum to. That's just starting salary. And our employees do not pay their health and welfare. So these are, like Kathy said, these are jobs for, quite frankly, blue-collar folks, and these are incredibly good jobs that we're chasing out of the state. So I concur that we need to pull this as fast as possible. Thank you.
And just for the record, Mr. Chair, we can work on making that even better.
So. Testimony kind of tells me that business and labor can work together.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Certain lots of things. I forgot to ask for if anybody'd like to ask questions. Members can always raise your hand. Okay, thank you very much. Excuse me, Steve Yucky, distribution alternative. Welcome, sir.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Senator. Thanks to the committee for taking the time to listen to our industry. My name is Steve Yockey. I'm a company officer with Distribution Alternatives. We are a third-party logistics and distribution company based in Lionel Lakes. We're a family-run, employee-owned business. So we've been in business in Minnesota since 1935. Our part of our industry is the labor-intensive part of it. Basically, what we do is we warehouse products for manufacturers and distribute those products to retailers and direct to consumers through web order, something you might order off the Internet. We do a high volume of pick and pack, which is picking one item out of a big case. We also do quite a bit of web orders, direct consumer business. All of those pieces of our industry are very labor intensive. To give you some perspective, last year, just in our Lionel Lakes facility, we processed 243,000 web orders last year. So it's a big business, and it's a very labor-intensive business. We have 120 full-time employees in our facility in Lionel Lakes. That flexes up to about 175, 180 of temporary workers at seasonal, different times of the year. As I mentioned, our facility in Lionel Lakes is 300,000 square feet. Of those 120 employees that we have, 26 of them have been with us for more than 20 years. As Richard and Kathy also noted, I mean, our average employee in our warehouse makes $14 to $15 an hour with full benefits. So as Richard, I'm just piling on with Richard's comment, these are good, hardworking jobs. Most of these people have been with us for a long time. I think one of the most important things that gets lost in this is this tax is really not on our industry. This tax is on our customers. And in our business, in our particular business, those are consumer goods. So that's a candle that you might buy at Target, or sporting goods item that you might buy at Sports Authority, or a pair of those Zubaz Vikings crazy sweatpants. Those all come out of our warehouse in Lionel Lakes if you go order those online. That's who the tax is on. And when we sat down with our customers last year and started talking to them about this, resoundingly they said, well, that's fine. Just move us somewhere else. Our company, we happen to manage 2 million square feet of warehouse in Southern California. It's a big part of our business. We can easily move the majority of our customers there. We also have an option on a building in Indiana, in the Ohio Valley, which is great from a location standpoint. But we don't want to do that. We're a Minnesota company. Our CEO is the son of the founder. We've been in Minnesota for since 1935. We don't want to leave. We don't want to leave any of those employees behind. But we have to have a level playing field with our competition. We have one customer in particular that's in the sporting goods industry that actually manufactures 70% of their goods here in Minnesota. They can't move to Southern California with us or to Indiana or Kentucky. It's too far for them to transport their goods. So they've gone out and secured an option with a provider in our industry in Des Moines, Iowa, that if the tax doesn't go away, they're moving. And we've also looked at an operation in Iowa to keep them. That customer has been with us for 15 years. When they started with us 15 years ago, the first year they were with us, they spent $120,000 on our services, and last year they spent $2.5 million. So we've helped them grow. And times 7%, that's a big enough hit for them to be willing to make a move. And I think it's, no matter where you sit, when you think about a product being manufactured in Minnesota, shipped to Iowa, and then distributed across the country, that can't make any sense to anyone. From a company standpoint, we'll be fine. As I said, we have 2 million square feet of warehouse in Southern California. 75% of our revenue comes from Southern California. Me, personally, maybe I got to move there, but that's this time of year, maybe that's not the worst thing. But for our 120 full-time employees in Lionel Lakes that have been with us for a long time, this isn't part of their future, and that's really the tough part of this. And we have to move past this and figure out a way to repeal this, because it's not good for jobs. It's not good for our industry. If you picked a place to start, a logistics or a distribution company in Minnesota would not be high on your list right now. We're only here because we started here, and we don't want to leave. But we need a level playing field across the country. So,
Senator Kosaki,
I thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry.
Question.
Yes, sir.
You talked about that over $2 million. The approximate tax is over $140,000, right?
That is correct, sir. Yep.
Yeah, so it is a significant number. And, I think both sides of the aisle recognize that we better do something. I hope, Senator Metzen, is that we do it like ASAP.
Soon.
Thank you.
Well, I note, you all read, but there happen to be three Democrats that are authoring the bills this morning.
And we appreciate your support.
Next on the list, some of these things aren't party driven. I mean, really, Senator.
You got to just get them done.
Yeah, you just get them done. But John Taylor, Skybridge Americas. You here? Okay. Mayor McGuire, are you here
yet?
We got the mayor of Eagan, who's a friend of mine, he's running a little late. Thom Peterson?
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting into this will probably be on the sales tax on farm equipment, I would guess. But welcome. And you have with you Mr. Buzzleman?
Yep.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union, and we're just here to speak briefly in support of repealing the sales tax exemption to equipment, namely farm equipment repair, which we also support offering a refund to those that have paid. It's a top issue for our farmers. You know, it really varies on farms. Some farmers are great wrench turners and have a mechanic, or they are a mechanic. Others rely on dealerships more than others. And, you know, in general, our farmers try to repair and keep their old equipment running and get as much use out of it as they can. And this tax was something they had a lot of concern about. I heard from our farmers right away. I think it was July 1st it went into effect, and the wheat harvest is the first harvest typically in Minnesota, where I remember my first call I got, a guy had thousands of dollars in repair on his combine, and he was just kind of surprised, because you get that, you know, that call, and then you say, and we're adding an extra 6%, six and three quarter percent. And my point on that is that it's an odd tax. You're not paying it. You're choosing to buy a boat or something. You're paying it basically when something goes wrong, and on a farm, something very wrong, and you're trying to get done and finish your harvest, finish your work, and it was interesting. The farmers do pay a lot of sales tax. Contrary, we appreciate and enjoy a lot of the sales tax exemptions we have, but also want to make a point that farmers pay a lot of sales tax on buildings, especially when we're putting up buildings, grain bins, snowblowers, oddly enough, you know, and so there are a lot of different things that are being bought a lot this year. So thank you for your consideration. We feel the budget situation allows for this repeal and urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Doug Busselman. I'm the Director of Public Policy for the Minnesota Farm Bureau. We're here in agreement with Tom and the comments that he made. Minnesota Farm Bureau supports repeal of the sales tax on labor assessed on the repair of farm equipment. We also support making the repeal retroactive and with refunds for the taxes paid since the tax took effect. We appreciate the various legislative proposals that have been offered and seek to repeal the business-to-business taxes, as well as the urgency that's being urged, and we are very appreciative of that effort. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Kazoka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Peterson, I can't remember if you testified in the Tax Reform Committee on this or not, but I'd like to get it out there and get your position on that. The smaller farm was mentioned, and I think this would be true of smaller business, typically has a higher percentage of used equipment, therefore a greater likelihood that they're going to need maintenance on it, and if they aren't that person that can do it themselves, then they got to pay more. And so this really, it's against all farmers or all businesses, but really for the small guy, it's even more critical. And is that your assessment? And I just wanted your input on that.
A good point.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gazelka, yeah, I always hate using the word small or big on farms, because it varies so much. But I think I understand the point you're getting to. And yes, you know, a lot of farmers, I'm surprised how many farmers are even renting equipment every year, and they're able to rent newer or brand new equipment or purchase new equipment. And typically not always our members were, you know, tend to be on the smaller size. And we do, when we talk to them, you know, that was their message, you know. And up in your area, a lot of, you have different size farms than, say, we have in Senator Dames's district, and even a lot of different equipment, you know, and that was the message that they said, you know, hey, I'm just trying to, you know, make this tractor keep going. It's important to me. And so, yes, I would agree with that. Thank you
very much. Okay. Thank you. Beth Cadoon from the Minnesota Chamber. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Beth Cadoon. I'm with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, an organization of 2,300 businesses across the state of Minnesota. I'm also here representing the United for Jobs Coalition. There's a handout that's going around. This coalition is about now, I think we're up to 100 business associations, as well as local chambers around the state of Minnesota that are supporting repeal of all three of the business-to-business taxes. I realize only two are before the committee today, which is the repair tax, as well as the storage and warehouse tax. My comments, though, that I'll talk about some on tax policy and economics, also have impacts on the telecommunications equipment tax as well. I first do want to thank those legislators on a bipartisan basis that are supporting repeal of all three taxes, especially to those people who authored the bill in committee today, Senator Jensen, Metzen, and Reinhart. We certainly appreciate that, and we have great support on both sides of the aisle with chief authors on the Republican side as well, so we certainly appreciate that. The other handouts that's also going around is the stories that there's only a few businesses here today that are testifying, but these are similar stories that we've heard around the state of Minnesota. There's a handout with excerpts from different papers all through the state of Minnesota with examples of companies that have been detrimentally impacted by these business-to-business taxes. The Minnesota Chamber and the United for Jobs Coalition is strongly advocating for an early repeal of all three of these taxes for the following reasons. They truly do undermine Minnesota's competitiveness and our future economic and job growth, and they place important industries at risk in the state. The repair tax does increase the cost to repair and maintain business equipment. This greatly impacts those key capital-intensive industries that are so critical for Minnesota's success. These are the industries that are manufacturing, printing, farming, logging, and mining. These all have very expensive capital equipment that they use, which makes it much more expensive to repair and maintain. These are very competitive industries, a lot of them with very slim profit margins, and competitors and customers that are outside the state of Minnesota. As the recent budget forecast was announced last week, we had great economic growth in Minnesota, which we all should be very happy about, and we are. There was one major industry that was highlighted that did not have job growth in 2013, and that was manufacturing industry. The tax on the repair tax, as well as the storage and warehouse tax, does impact the manufacturing industry and makes it much more, increases that fixed cost of doing business in the state of Minnesota. Manufacturing represents about 13% of all the jobs in the state, about 340,000 jobs, and obviously is under extreme cost pressures in a very competitive industry for manufacturing. The storage and warehouse tax, and you've already heard from that industry, that really does greatly undermine that viability of the industry in the state of Minnesota. The profit margins in this industry tend to be about 3 to 6%. The sales tax is our state tax is 6.875%. plus the local tax, which is on average over a 7% sales tax in the state of Minnesota. As you can see, that is not a viable business model. The telecommunication tax, I'll just mention very briefly, this really does undermine kind of that investment in that high-speed equipment in the state of Minnesota. It goes against the governor's own broadband task force recommendation, which is we want to make sure there's access to that high-speed equipment across the state. This undermines that ability to get that investment, especially in those sparsely populated areas. These taxes are bad tax policy. You can talk to basically any economist, tax policy expert, and they'll say you do not want to do business-to-business taxes due to the harmful impacts that they have. They result in tax pyramiding, a tax upon a tax. They're hidden in a regressive tax. The Department of Revenue's analysis shows that 90% of this tax ultimately falls on Minnesota households through lower wages and higher prices for consumers. And they create great economic distortions. They do harm those small and mid-sized businesses more because they're less able to mitigate the impact of these taxes. And they also make Minnesota a tax outlier. Most states do not tax, as storage and warehouse was pointed out, most states do not tax repair on labor for business equipment, and the trend in other states is to exempt more telecommunications equipment tax. We strongly encourage an early repeal of these three taxes. We've already heard of lost business opportunities in the state and expansions that have occurred outside the state. And so an early repeal would really help mitigate those impacts as well as lessen that administrative burden for that tax that has not taken place, which is a storage and warehouse that would be taking effect on April 1st. Thank you so much for the committee's time.
Thank you very much. Any questions of the witness? Thank you. Next up, David Cobelli?
Coble, Mr. Chair.
Coble? What's your name? Tell me your name. Would you,
Dave Coble.
Well, I was close.
You're not the first to miss it.
Other people have missed it?
A few.
Phonetically, it's way off. Okay. Protec Intercontinent Solutions. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dave Koble, and I'm the CEO of Protec Interconnect Solutions in Chaska. We're a manufacturer of printed circuit boards with approximately 100 employees.
See, we lightened the load there. Everybody's kind of laughing a little bit or chuckling. Okay, go continue.
I'd like to explain the impact that the sales tax on repair and maintenance labor has had on our business. Our industry is very capital intensive, and in order to compete and grow, particularly in the U.S., we need to stay at the high end of the technology curve. We reinvest every year in new high technology equipment that keeps us at the forefront of circuit board technology. We're not a large company that can support most or all of our maintenance labor needs with internal employees. If we were, the internal labor costs associated with equipment maintenance is not a taxable event for sales tax purposes. Rather, we're a small to medium-sized business, and we're not able to afford to have maintenance support personnel on staff to service all of our equipment and maintenance needs. Our maintenance staff performs general plant and equipment maintenance, but on most of our high-end equipment, we utilize our vendor support staff or contract with maintenance groups who are experts in their field. In some cases, we're required to have annual maintenance contracts on a number of high-end pieces of equipment to make sure that any repair or maintenance work is completed correctly and safely. The change last year to tax repair and maintenance labor represents a significant cost increase for our business. It increases the cost of our equipment maintenance contracts, preventive maintenance and repairs, and on other labor repair costs to equipment in our facility. The net impact on our business of this legislation is that it makes us less competitive with our competition in the U.S. and abroad. Looking at ways to improve our cost structure is a daily event in our business. In order to be a viable supplier to our customers, we need to be cost competitive, again, both nationally and internationally. In our competitive market, the additional cost of this tax cannot be passed on to our customers. We eat it. It becomes an additional cost that takes away from our ability to invest in our ongoing capital equipment needs, our employees, and the ever-increasing high cost of medical insurance. The tax legislation that was passed may have created situations of unintended consequences, but for our business and businesses like ours, it's a real significant cost increase that just generally makes us less competitive. Every member of our ownership group is from Minnesota. We're a Minnesota-based company. We want to grow our business in Minnesota. We want to provide more employment in Minnesota. But this tax inhibits our ability to do that. We'd appreciate any consideration that the committee can give in repealing this business-to-business tax for repair and maintenance labor. All we're looking for is the ability to compete on a level playing field. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, David.
Koble.
Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for testifying. Ken Damewood, Northern Iron and Machine, and Minnesota Metalcasters of Minnesota.
Good afternoon. I'm Ken Damewood. I'm Vice President of Northern Iron and Machine in St. Paul here. Also, Executive Director of the Metalcasters of Minnesota, and we represent about 35 foundries and die casters throughout the state. David did a very good job explaining what this equipment tax will do to us. Our little foundry machine shop in the east side, we employ about 85 employees to this day. A year and a half ago, we were 140 employees, so you can see what the economy has done to us. And the additional equipment tax on our foundry alone and machine shop is about $50,000 a year. And it takes right away from the employees. It takes right away from our competitiveness from across the river to overseas. We can't raise a price on our customers. Some of our customers are the large guys, Caterpillar and GE Locomotive. They beat us little guys up pretty good on price, so our margins are pretty low, and to add this extra tax onto us is a big burden, and as it is for everybody else throughout the state. You heard about all the warehouse stuff. I don't need to hit on that, but there's several of our industry people that are up there through Duluth down to Mankato that are some large employers. ME Global up in Duluth is a large employer. They're getting hit pretty hard with this kind of stuff. They try to stay competitive, but they have plants down in Arizona and overseas that they can move things around, but they don't want to move the jobs out of Minnesota. And nor do we. You know, the foundry, our industry, just here in St. Paul, our average pay is $20 an hour with full benefits. That's for unskilled and skilled workers that we employ. And the unskilled worker makes around $20 an hour. And to stay competitive is real tough with us today with this additional tax. Pretty much is all I can say is we're employee-owned. A group of us purchased the company in the end of 2006. We're doing all we can to put money back into the company. It's a 106-year-old company. The building's 106 years old, so you can imagine the cost of just maintaining this building and the things we've done to it in the last 7 years is huge. But we want to keep these families working here and keep this business going another many, many years. So I thank you for your time today, and I please hope you take a heavy look at this. Thank you.
That's what we're going to do. Thank you for your testimony. Kevin Bedore, Japs Olson. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, committee members. I represent, my name is Kevin Bedore from Japs Olson Company. We are a 107-year-old company, family-owned, that specializes in the print and direct mail business. We have over 600 employees at our facility in St. Louis Park, and that's our only facility. We started in Minneapolis, and we have been a Minnesota company for the past 107 years. The repair tax is hitting us very tough. Again, as the other folks have said, we are in a highly capital-intense business. It's hyper-competitive. The printing industry has been, in the last 5 years, been making profit margins of under 1%. 95% of our work comes from out of state, and we compete day-to-day with people out of state. We are doing everything we can right now to maintain employees and maintain a viable business. And we are committed to Minneapolis and committed to the Minnesota area. And we ask that you repeal this tax and stay committed to people like us also. Thank you.
Yeah. Are you at St. Louis Park also?
Yes, St. Louis Park.
Oh, you mentioned Minneapolis.
Well,
Senator Latz.
That's a slip. We started in Minneapolis and are in St. Louis Park
right
now.
All right, well, you said Minneapolis twice and St. Louis Park once. So.
That's what happens. That's what happens when you have so many employees working in Minneapolis.
You're going to need every vote you can get in Senator Latz.
I can see I'm getting myself in trouble here.
Mr. Chairman, I will invite you out to St. Louis Park to tour this facility. It's absolutely a state-of-the-art, fascinating facility. What they have there, it's they've converted. Well, when they bought the building, they converted a very large building, and they have got just a fabulous direct mail operation. And they can do anything that you want to do for printing and aggregating mailing addresses and distribution around the world.
How many did you say? How many employees you?
We're a little over 600 right now.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot. Well, we want you to stick around, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your testimony. David Ratzi, that might be a Ratzi.
It's a Prussian name.
We have to get these. How are you? Good to see you, David.
Mr. Chair, I'm David Raji.
Oh, you, I asked for help on that one.
I knew it.
Why did you help? He didn't know it either. And my staff didn't know it. But you know what? A couple of these staff members are looking at those $20 jobs. $20.
Do you have any couple members.
The senators are paid $31,000 a year, so it's not just the staff. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, you may proceed. Executive Director of the Printing Industry of Minnesota. Welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is David Raji. I'm president and CEO of the printing industry in Minnesota here. In Minnesota, there are 25,000 employees that work directly in the print industry. We produce somewhere around $5.5 billion worth of goods and services for our customers from all around the country. About half of our product is shipped, or it's designed and shipped to other parts of this country. It's not designed for Minnesotans to see. We do ship around the world from here as well. This has been a strong industry in the state of Minnesota for a lot of good reasons. Being located close to trees and good shipping has helped our members grow, and the educational process here has helped them to be some of the smartest printers in the world. Our average industry in 2012 has been a successful industry for us. The average profit on our members has moved up from 1.7% in 2011 to 2.3% in 2012. So we've been successful in mitigating some of the downfall of the industry. This is a global market. We compete, we ship out of Minneapolis weekly to Ireland. We have a ship that takes a load of our product out of Minnesota just to Ireland itself for one of our members. This business-to-business tax is not able to be passed along to our customers. We take that out of our margin. In doing so, what this does on the short run affects our employees by less overtime. These jobs are shipped by a click of a mouse. You can move this project to be printed in Chicago or in LA by a click of a mouse. So to compete in this business, they are razor sharp margins. The firms here would like to stay here. In the long run, they will search out where they need to keep their margins. In other words, in the short run, the employees will have less overtime. In the long run, the investments will move from this state. Thank you for your time. Stand for any questions.
Any questions of the witness? Thank you very much. Mayor McGuire, are you here? Did you care to say a few words? Thought I saw Mike. Welcome. We earlier heard Mr. McGuire, Mayor McGuire, that from a couple of folks on the warehouses in your district or in your community, in Eagan, and the need for repealing this.
Indeed.
Welcome to the committee, Mike, and Mitch, say your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today, and I apologize for my delay in getting here. I'm interested in sharing my thoughts regarding the warehouse sales tax. I'm Mike McGuire. I'm the mayor of the city of Eagan, and I speak today to you about an important part of our Eagan jobs landscape. In Eagan, we believe in the real estate emphasis on location, location, location. Equidistant from both Minneapolis and St. Paul, with multiple highway access points throughout the region and proximity to the MSP airport, Eagan is fortunate to attract a range of businesses and industry to our community. Eagan is a net employer with 54,000 jobs. We are one of the Twin Cities' top job hubs. That location is why Eagan is a very attractive, has a very active warehousing and freight forwarding sector, with several major companies calling Eagan home. If you look down when you're flying over our city, you'll see much of the north central and northeast area of the city has a high concentration of these well-known warehousing companies. Some of them are represented here today. You've already heard the concerns of two of our Eagan businesses, Strategic Warehousing and Murphy Warehouse. Other warehouses in Eagan include Dart Transportation, Superior Freight, and City Cargo and Storage, to name a few. In addition to warehousing companies, Eagan-based manufacturers employ thousands of people and will be impacted by warehouse taxes as they rely on these warehousing companies for product distribution and logistics. These companies are a vital part of our community. They have invested in our community, some for many years. Others have improved our community by cleaning up blighted properties. They contribute to our tax base and the diversity of that tax base and our overall job market in Eagan. I'm very concerned about the negative impact that the warehouse tax could have on these businesses in Eagan and other similarly situated communities throughout the state of Minnesota. Warehousing and logistics services, by their very nature, are mobile and increasingly so. Egan has already lost a business through a relocation to Hudson, Wisconsin. I assure you, they have land to develop, and they are hungry for development. I fear that the implementation of the warehouse tax will be a significant contributing factor to similar decisions, as Hudson is only about 10 to 15 miles from Egan. We must do what we can to keep those businesses and these businesses here in Minnesota. I ask that you repeal the warehouse tax before the April 1st implementation. I thank you very much for your time. And if you have any questions, I'll certainly stand open to those.
Well, thank you, Mayor. It was about a month ago or so, I think Senator Carlson and I were out to visit with you and your council members, and one of the things we talked about was this issue back then. And so I know how we both know, and others obviously know how harmful this could be if we don't repeal it. So
it's very important to our business community overall and our warehousing in particular.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming, Mayor.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Tom.
Yeah. Brad, is it Kelsa? Dart advantage?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If I did get one right, say that.
I'll give it to you.
All right. Thank you. Welcome, Mr.
Thanks for having me. My name is Brad Kelsa. I'm with Dart Advantage Warehouse in Egan. Chairman Metzen and senators, I'd like to give thanks to Kathy from Strategic and Richard from Murphy. I could just say ditto on everything they said, but I would like to add some more of who we are.
Right.
We are three warehouses based in Egan, 250,000 square feet. Have a customer base of 35 customers, with 28 of them being based here in Minnesota. We employ 20 people that rely on us for our warehousemen, our managers, administrative personnel. And what we do is far beyond the warehousing. We have large customers, small customers. We, in our services that we provide, that this is going to affect is pick and pack, repack, cross-docking, transportation, coordination, and special projects. I guess what I would like to do is advocate not only for ourselves but for our customers. We've had many customers come to us, and the tax is a major cost to them. There has been direct cost, and customers that we have currently from Renville, Red River Valley, Maplewood, La Crosse, that warehouse in ours that said directly that we are looking to move. In a transportation side, it's not an added cost, but the warehousing tax is an added burden to them. We have many customers, large and small. One directly that's in our warehouse is a startup company from 2 years ago. They manufacture little railings, and they just won a big award, Menards. And they are going to be servicing Menards. But when you look at the supply chain and we handle all their services, for them to incur this tax, it's an added burden for a startup. 7.5% on all the services that we provide to them, it's a big deal. So if anything I look at is how I have to not only look at ourselves but our customers, and there's been a lot of hard questions, and it will affect our business as well as theirs. And for that, I say we've been incurring costs getting ready for this. We're planning for it, but hoping that this tax can be repealed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Wayne Brandt, Minnesota Forest Industries, and Timber Producers. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I might have had the easiest name this morning or this afternoon. appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, Wayne is easy.
Yeah, Wayne's easy, yeah. And so is the rest of it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on behalf of Minnesota Forest Industries, Minnesota Timber Producer Association, Minnesota Forest Industries members are paper mills, engineered wood products manufacturers, large sawmills, owners of forest land, producers of wood-based electricity, bioenergy, and utility poles. And so timber producers members are loggers, small sawmills, truckers, allied businesses from throughout the state. We've got members from the Iowa border to the Canadian border and everywhere in between that trees grow. Combined, the overall forest products industry in Minnesota is the fourth or fifth largest manufacturing industry, some 30,000 employees, sales of about $9 billion. Looking at the paper sector, Mr. Raji spoke earlier. We sell about 25% of the paper that's manufactured in Minnesota is sold in Minnesota, primarily to Mr. Raji's members, printers here in the state. The other 75% is exported throughout North America to other customers. So impacts here are very important to our competitiveness as we look at other paper manufacturers, other manufacturers of engineered wood products, and there are other products that we produce throughout North America and, frankly, worldwide. There's also an impact that most of the companies, most of the larger companies are international, have international operations, either throughout North America or into Europe, Asia, South America, and Southern America, South America. So the impacts on the decisions they make on taxes, the impacts of taxes on the decisions they make of where to invest and where to manufacture products are real, and they are something that hits us every day. For the primary mills, the paper mills, the engineered wood products facilities, the tax on equipment repairs will cost us about $2 million a year. We pay that tax when we bring in outside contractors to fix the machines. These mills are very large, complex operations. If you were going to go and build a new paper machine today, the cost would be a little on the long side of $1 billion. So repairing them and keeping them operational is complex and costly in order to keep them running, and they are facilities that run 24/7. On the logging side, the tax on machinery repairs cost us about $250,000 a year. These are all small family businesses, 3 to 6 employees, many of them in remote locations throughout the state. I spoke with one of my loggers the other day who'd had a piece of equipment, and logging equipment is also quite sophisticated. It's not something that you can just go throw a wrench on yourself in most instances. He'd had a relatively new piece of equipment that needed some repairs, and he lives up near the Canadian border, and the servicing company was in Grand Rapids, so he had a labor bill of $1,500 for the ride up and the ride back for the two mechanics before they started working on his machinery. So unlike others, we're not in a position, you're not going to move a paper mill to Des Moines. You're not going to move our operations anywhere else. It's a matter of whether or not we're going to be competitive with the other companies that manufacture the same products. So we appreciate your time. We appreciate your consideration of the repeal of these taxes, and would encourage you to do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brown. The last name I have is Aaron. Aaron, how are you? Dwayne.
That's pronounced Arns, so.
But you don't have to say. If you're only batting 80%, you don't have to say. All right, welcome to the.
Thank you, Chair Metzen and Senators. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Dwayne Arns, and I am the new Director of Public Policy for NAIOP Minnesota, which is the Commercial Real Estate Developers Association, representing owners and managers of commercial real estate, along with the thousands of tenants in the buildings that we own and manage. And, of course, I'm here today to talk about the warehouse tax. And as you know, for the last 5 or 6 years, the construction industry has been in a pretty difficult a position. You know, not a whole lot of things happening, but in the last year or two, things have changed, you know, pretty dramatically. And, you know, not just downtown Minneapolis. I would dare to say most of you in your districts have projects going on right now. And things are going pretty well for us. We just think that this warehouse tax is gonna slow things down and kind of deflate the tires on what's really happening right now. And we want to keep this going. We're actually creating a lot of jobs right now in the industry, a lot of projects going on throughout the whole state of Minnesota. We had one of our members testify last week in the Senate tax committee that they purchased some land in Hudson, Wisconsin, and before they had a chance to sign the papers, four other warehouse interests were interested in that property, and they ended up paying 34% more than the original price because of the competition of warehouse space in Hudson, Wisconsin right now. And so it's because of that, and we hope that you can join our 750 members of NAOP and the 96 other business organizations and chambers of commerce around Minnesota in repealing this this warehouse tax. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. We're open for anybody else in the audience wish to. We got a little time left if somebody else would like to visit with the committee. Well, seeing none, this is very, I think, informative. And Senator Jensen, did you have a...
I would like to speak to this issue a little bit.
Sure.
Thank you. As author of one of the bills that we're looking at today, I think it's important for members to consider tax policy in general. And what I'm looking at when this first came out, and especially when it comes to repair of equipment, is the state is asking to add on to a misfortunate event and something that's a negative impact to a business. And we're saying as a state that our tax policy, what we want is then to take a share of that. I think that's wrong, and I think we should repeal that. I also feel that it's not stable and reliable, and that's what we want tax policy to be. So I would hope that somehow we can take a look at that and make sure that, especially when it comes to other things too, like maintenance, we want to encourage maintenance. We don't want the decision-making of a business to be, can we afford, or is there a tax implication if we're going to do maintenance on anything that they're dealing with? And I sincerely hope that we think about that we want to encourage that and not make that tax implication any part of that kind of a decision-making process. Especially when it comes to safety and some other kind of issues, too. I know we didn't talk about the technology, but we want to encourage. We want to encourage the development and expansion of all businesses, and the use of technology is one thing that will make us more competitive as a state. So in that area, I'm very concerned with that as well. So thank you for listening to the concerns of the people that came and testified, and hopefully we can come to a resolution.
Well, like I said, at the this is clearly a commerce and economic development issue. I mean, there's no doubt about it, so I felt like we had to hear it here. But Senator Reinhart, did you want to say just a couple of words? I know we've got a – you don't have to, but we do have a letter in the folder from the Duluth Seaway Port Authority that kind of says
– And Mr. Chairman, I would just encourage members to take a look at that. You know, we have a real-world situation in the Port of Duluth where ships actually sail past the terminals in Wisconsin with no sales tax in order to theoretically do business at terminals in Minnesota that do have one, and I think we all know probably how those decisions will be made. So, but I'd encourage you, the port folks are disappointed that their schedules did not work out that they could be. As you can see, the directors in Calgary working on business, but... I think the letter speaks well, and the highlights are mine.
Senator Dames, I think, was first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to thank the testifiers for coming in and testifying today and bringing the information in your hearings to what's actually happening in the business world with these proposed and some of the taxes that have already went into effect on business to business. And I thank you, Mr. Chair, for hosting this event. But with that said, I really hope that we go to the next step. You know, we could, we've heard what's happening. We've already lost some business over this, and we need to get to the next step, and that next step is to get these taxes repealed before we lose more business. And I think that everybody at this table needs to think about that. We have an opportunity to straighten this ship out, and let's step to the table and let's get this done. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Senator Kosalka.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I do appreciate the fact that you brought these to the committee. It is commerce. You know, I know there's a number of folks on this committee, both sides of the aisle, that have a business background. And maybe we look at things a little bit differently. But, you know, they – and I'm a business owner, so I guess I can say it because I feel it. But they come and they testify, and they it's a lot of their decisions are simply made from the rational mind. They look at the numbers, they look at how things are going to be, and they make decisions accordingly because they one of their primary functions is to make a profit. Everybody else benefits when that happens. And so, you know, what I've heard here today and also in the Tax Reform Committee was letting us know that these are serious issues, and if we don't address them, they will be gone. And they're not saying it as a threat. It's more of a just this is a fact of business. And so, you know, I am very thankful, Senator Metzen, that you brought this forward, and let's move it forward. Let's get it done.
Senator Brown, Brown, did you have a comment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just, being that we're not taking any action on these bills today, how do you see the repeal of these burdensome taxes playing out this session?
Well, obviously the tax committee will make that decision, and the number of us are there's a strong support on both sides of the aisle. And I personally think, and hopefully think, that this is going to pass. So today it's informational. We don't have a vote on it in this committee, but I think the word will spread that we had a lot of excellent testimony. And we'll go from there. But I think we encourage our colleagues to get on board. And everybody lobby the tax committee, okay?
Yeah.
So, and I think the House is on a little faster track, which is good, on these three issues. So we just got to get her done. I think it's that important. And I agree with Senator Kosalka that the people I visited – sometimes people cry wolf a little bit around this building, but these warehouse people were not crying wolf. I mean, if they could go to Des Moines or Hudson instead of, for example, Eagan's is 8 minutes away, Hudson's 11 minutes away, where are you going to go? And same with Austin, and that area south, where are they going to go? 12 miles down the road, you know, near an interstate and build there. So I think it's not crying wolf. I think it's a real thing, and in my judgment, we should repeal it. All of these three for three. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the testifiers that came and gave us their positions and information today. That's really very valuable. And I think he was probably mentioned one of the most frequent times. And I think we're in a reasonably good condition right now to take a very serious look at these things, and we can't it can't be said that we shouldn't be looking at things in a balance, and the balance is that we've had a lot of good things that we've passed in the last year, and you know we're looking at Minnesota performing much better than the experts expected. So I think what we can do, and you know, there's words now, give it back. Well, yes, I think we're going to be giving it back, but maybe not in exactly the, you know, in a check. We'll give it back in perhaps some tax expenditures like this. And in these particular taxes, and I look at a fourth one also, and the fourth one is that tax on municipal expenditures that are done by joint ventures, that we need to fix that also. And I think each of these are unique, and that's what I don't like about these is they are unique. Now, the uniqueness of the warehouse tax is because it's one of the few states that taxes only the warehouse services, whereas if you go to South Dakota, it's all business-to-business taxes. So we don't hear South Dakota right now. And in some cases, there are there are inventory taxes. In some cases, there are other semi-finished or finished goods taxes. But we don't need to be the outlier here in taxing just the warehouse services. Mr. Chair, I would like to see us look at this as a balance. What we're going to get, we know what we're going to get by repealing these, but also what we've had and what good has come to Minnesota for what we've done here in the last year. And I think what's good that has come to Minnesota is allowing us to look at these things very seriously, and I'm hoping that we will be able to repeal them, and forthwith.
Thank you. Senator Pratt, did you?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to concur with Senator Jensen on the fact that while we've heard some great testimony about warehousing, and I think it affects every one of our districts in some ways, we've got some other business taxes that we need to take care of. Feels like, as you said, we're about economic development. Right now it feels like we're about commerce preservation. I think we're finding how mobile some of these businesses are, how close we are to some of our key competitors, and we need to keep Minnesota viable. We need to keep Minnesota competitive. So, Senator Carlson, we're not talking about checks. We're talking about giving people back money that they wouldn't otherwise pay into the state. And so thank you, Mr. Chair, for having this. I'm glad we've taken this up.
I'm going to appoint all of you on this committee as honorary members of the Tax Committee.
Thank you.
So moved.
We've already got it. We've got some members already on it.
Got to represent.
Don't want it.
All right. Again, thank all of you for coming, and the testifiers, thank you. And I thought it was a very healthy meeting. So, we meet next Monday and Wednesday. There'll be hearings and voting on bills, so we'll let you know what they are. But be here for the votes on Monday and Wednesday of next week. Meeting is adjourned.